Should turn your Bibles to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 18. 119th Psalm is the longest one in all of the Psalms. And it is absolutely loaded. And I want to use the Bible to speak more than I just, if you want to say, speak myself, because I think God's Word tells us a lot if we just listen to it. You know, we've been going through our series of messages, and this is the last one in the series about what every Christian ought to know. This morning is how to understand the Bible. I hear people all the time tell me, well, I just don't understand that book. I don't know what that means. I'm not sure I understand that. I read about a wise man who once said, "These things hath God married, and no man shall part, dust on the Bible and drought in the heart." It goes together. See, the key to victorious Christian life is understanding the Bible. Imagine just for a moment that you got a letter in the mail from some law firm that said you had a rich uncle that you didn't know about who died and left you his entire estate. But let's say that you couldn't read. And all you knew that you got the letter and that somebody told you that you had inherited his estate, but you didn't know what was in it. You don't know what property you owned or how much money you had. You didn't know anything about it. All you knew that you were heir to something. Well, it's kind of like that with the Word of God. If we don't understand the Word of God, if we don't read it and understand it, then we really don't know what Christ has for us. I want us to read Psalm 119, verse 18, and then we're going to be looking at a lot of scripture this morning. I didn't put them all up on the screen for you because I would have driven Brandon crazy with flipping the screen, because we're going to use a lot of stuff. And even in your notes, I didn't put them in there. But I would just encourage you, just write down the scripture reference when I read these scriptures, and you can go back and look at them later, okay? We're going to stand in honor of the reading of God's Word, Psalm 119, verse 18. Just one verse we're going to look at to start. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. Father, thank you this morning for what we've already experienced in word and in song and praise of your people. Lord, I pray that you'd help me proclaim your truth. I pray you'd help us to see wondrous things from your law this morning. We'll give you thanks for always in Christ's name. And amen. You may be seated. Why don't some people read the Bible? You ever think about that? Well, some people think it's not important. Well, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, and that's good, and it's fine. Or some people say, well, I don't believe there's a God anyway, so what do I want to read that old book for? Some people just think it's not important. And some people just don't want to know what's written in this book because they think, well, if I don't know, then God won't hold me accountable. And they maybe look at this scripture, James 4:17. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Well, if I don't know it, then I can't sin. I'm going to be good. Does that let us off the hook? Not knowing what it says? No, it doesn't. Proverbs 24:12 says, if you say, surely we did not know this, does not he who weighs the heart consider it? He who keeps your soul, does he not know it? Will he not render to each man according to his deeds? Imagine you're going down the interstate going to Knoxville this week. Or maybe let's just take a small road. You're going down Valley Home Road or something down there in Morristown. And you're driving about 65 down there. Man, you're just zipping in and out of the curves. And all of a sudden, a sheriff's car pulls you over and says, you're speeding. This is a 35-mile zone. You're doing 65. You said, I'm sorry, officer. I didn't know it was 65. You think that's going to keep him from writing you a ticket? Somebody could be a witness to that, amen? Some people say, well, if I don't know, it won't make any difference. And yes, it makes a difference, because God's going to hold us accountable even whether we want to read it or not. Proverbs 16:18, because some people think, well, you know, I know it all. I don't need to know anymore. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride comes before destruction and a haughty spirit before fall. We say we're too good, we don't know it, we don't need to know it, and it doesn't really matter, then God says, I'm going to hold you accountable too. We're going to look at these scriptures, and I want you to just think upon these as we go through them, what God's Word is saying to us. And again, I'm not going to spend a lot of time as we say times in preacher terms, pulling over and parking, talking about something. I'm going to let the Word of God speak to us this morning. First thing I want us to see, if we're going to really understand the Bible, is to appreciate the Word of God. When you learn how valuable something is, we appreciate it all the more. Think about it this way. One, the Bible is timeless. Listen to what it says about itself in Psalm 119. Psalm 119 to 89. Forever, listen to that word. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Psalm 119, 152. Concerning your testimonies, I have of old that you have founded them forever. Psalm 119, 160. Entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgment endures forever. The Bible's timeless. You know, men try to resist the Word of God, and it's really a kind of a stage that people go through. And they try to resist the Word of God and say, well, I just want to do that. And then they want to reject it. Well, I'm not going to believe that. And then they'll start ridiculing it. Well, that's just an old book for a bunch of people that have to read it because they're weak mentally or weak emotionally, and they need the Bible for a crutch. And then lastly, they want to remove it. Is that not where we are today in our culture? To get rid of the Word of God completely? But let me tell you something. The Bible is timeless. The Bible is truthful. Psalm 119, 142. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness. Your law is truth. Remember when Pilate had Jesus there? They had arrested him, brought him before Pilate. Pilate's questioning him. And he asked Jesus this question. What is truth? Jesus already answered that question in John chapter 17, verse 17. He says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. You know, the word of God is true. You know, the liberals make a frontal attack on the Bible and say it's not true. We don't want to believe it. And those who want to attack it from behind say, well, my experience doesn't prove this out. I don't think I ought to believe it. I'm going to go by experience rather than the Word of God. And there's an attack from those in psychology and the mindset of the higher up academia today that want to say, well, that's just an old outdated book. I don't want to believe that. But let me tell you something. The Bible's truthful. And there's an interesting thing about truth. Truth never changes. It endures forever. Amen. What was true in Jesus' day is true today. The people today want to say, well, that was might have been true in that day. It's not true today. That's a lie out of the pit of hell. You know, 2 Timothy 3, 16, 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. A couple of things there. It says, all scripture, not some, not a part, not a here or there. It's not like a buffet. You want to pick it and choose what we want to obey and what we want to believe. No, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And the word inspiration there means God breathed. God breathed in the heart of man and they wrote it down. It's God's word. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, when the Satan had tempted him in the wilderness, said, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by every word alone, by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He's quoting out of Deuteronomy 8:8. You know, an interesting thing. If you do a search, and if you got the Bible on your computer, if you want to use an old concordance or whatever you want to do, if you look up the phrases, word of God, the word of the Lord, God spoke, or thus saith the Lord, you know how many times that occurs in the Bible? Over 3,800 times. The word of the Lord, the word of God, thus saith the Lord. God spoke. The Bible is timeless. The Bible is truthful. The Bible also is to be treasured. Psalm 119, 72, the law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver. We all like money. Hello? I like money because you can buy things with it. Amen. But God's word says it's more valuable than any gold or silver. Adrian Rogers, you've heard me quote him several times. He made this statement years ago that I copied down. He said, the Bible is to be a treasured book. The saints and the heroes of our faith have pillowed their heads on the word of God as they walk through the chilly waters of the river of death. The martyrs who died for the witness of Jesus Christ have held the Bible in their bosoms as the creeping flames came around their feet. The members of the early church loved the word of God. They never questioned it, and they never argued about little about it. They preached it, proclaimed it, pronounced it, and poured it forth like white-hot lava. They loved it, lived it, practiced it, trusted it, and obeyed it. They claimed it constantly. The Bible is to be treasured. Appreciate the word of God. The word of God is steadfast and sure. Everything in this world is falling around us. Everything in this world is coming to pass, but the word of God will stand forever. Appreciate it. I want you to notice the second thing, absorb the word of God. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." We need to discern the word of God. We need to absorb it into our lives. How do you do that? First off, I want you to pray over the word of God. Psalm 119:12, and there's, I could quote you a ton of verses out of here, or share with you out of Psalm 119 that say this very same thing. But Psalm 119:12 says, "Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes." Psalm 119:18, "Open my eyes and I may see your wondrous things out of your law." Do you ever get, when before you read God's word, you're going to sit down and read it, sit and say, "Lord, teach me, show me. Open my eyes that I can see what's in your word. Help me to understand it." Pray over the word of God. You remember Jesus on the road to Emmaus after he'd risen from the dead? He's walking up there and Cleopas and someone else is walking on the road to Emmaus outside Jerusalem. And Jesus comes alongside, walking beside them. And he says, "Why are you so sad?" And they basically said in East Tennessee English, "Where you been? Don't you know that Jesus, we trusted in Messiah, they crucified him. It's been 3 days since that happened. Don't you know what's happened in Jerusalem?" And Jesus begins to talk with them. And it says there in Luke 24:45, "And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures." Jesus opened their eyes to see the truth of his word, not only himself, but his word. Do we ever just, before we read, pray and say, "God, show me, teach me, help me to learn"? Psalm 119:73, "Your hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments." Pray over the word of God. Don't get in such a hurry to read the word of God and you get your daily reading in that you don't take time to say, "Lord, help me today to understand what's in here." Let me tell you something. That's one prayer I guarantee you he will answer. Hello? He will answer that prayer for you. Secondly, meditate on the word of God. I will, Psalm 119:15, "I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways." You know, the word meditate really has the idea of like chewing on something. It's chew on the word of God. Now, for some of you ladies, this may not be a good illustration, but if it's not, it's okay. How many of you like beef jerky? Wow. A lot of you. You know, one of the things I like about beef jerky, when you put it in your mouth, start chewing it, it tastes okay, but the more you chew it, the more the flavor comes out. It's like the word of God. You take it and start chewing on a verse, chewing on it, and all of a sudden it gets richer, fuller, and tastier, and you learn more and more from it. Meditate on it. Psalm 119:148, "My eyes are awake through the night watches that I may meditate on your word." When you sit down with your Bible to read it and to meditate on it, have your pen and a pad to get laying there and expect God to show you something from his word and write it down. And use common sense. Proverbs are not promises. They're proverbs. You know what a proverb is? It's a wise saying. It's counted as a wisdom saying in the word of God. It's part of the what the Jewish people call the wisdom writings. It's something that is pretty much true and it's a very wise saying, but it doesn't mean it's going to absolutely happen. Let me give you a quick example. "Train up a child the way he should go, when his old shall not depart from it." That's not a promise. That's a proverb. God gives every person a free will. You may raise your child up to walk the holy way with God, and all of a sudden they get to be an adult, and they decide they don't want it anymore, and they go on their own way. Let me tell you something. It's not a promise. It's a proverb. But if you raise them right, and you teach them the word of God, and you bring them up in church, and you do the things you need to do, and you pray over them, the likelihood is very, very good they're going to walk with the Lord all the days of their life. Hello? Meditate on the Word of God. And someone asked me one time, are you one of those literalists that take the Bible literally? Yes. Well, don't you take it figuratively? Yes. Well, wait a minute, preacher. You're talking out of both sides of your mouth. Well, when the Bible is speaking something, we ought to take it literally. But when it's using figurative language, we ought to take it figuratively. Let me give you an example. The Bible says many times it was like unto. That's figurative language. Or if it says something like this, it says, as it were. He's using figurative language to get it to communicate to us the principle or what he's trying to teach us. It's not always literal, but most of the time it is. Believe it literally unless it tells us otherwise. Here's six questions to ask yourself when you're studying the Bible. And if you want these later, I'll be glad to give them to you, because we're going to have them on the screen, but I know you won't be able to write them down as fast as we go through them. First question to ask when you're reading the Bible and you're meditating on it, is there a promise to claim? Secondly, is there a lesson to learn? Thirdly, is there a blessing to enjoy? Fourthly, is there a command to obey? Fifthly, is there a sin to avoid? Sixthly, is there a new thought to carry with me? Pray over the Word of God. Meditate on it. Ask God to help you. Chew on it. Let God speak to you. I remember Dean talking about one of the rabbis over in Israel was talking to him about the Word. And he said, the problem with you Westerners and you people from America, when you read the Bible, you read it too fast. Slow down. Let it speak to you. Then memorize the Word of God. Psalm 119:11 says, your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. You know, when we put the Word of God in our heart and our truth in God, then it helps us to remember what's right and what's wrong. And when we remember it, we meditate on it, we memorize it, then it's there for us. Now, let me tell you something about Scripture memorization. It's not just for the preacher. It's not just for the Sunday school teacher. It's not for the little children and children's Bible drills. It's for every born-again child of God to memorize the Word of God. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. That's for every born-again believer. Memorize the Word of God. Do it however you want to do it. I don't know how your brain works. My brain works best when I write stuff down. And it's kind of like the teachers. We got any teachers in here? That's amazing. Got one, two? Okay. Remember what the teacher used to make me do when I would get unruly in class or something like that, or I didn't get my homework? I would write 100 times, I will not do such and such. I will. Remember that? Hello? Well, they understood a principle. When you write something down, it lodges in your mind and your heart. For me, if I write scriptures down, it sticks. I can repeat them till the cows come home, reading, and it sticks somewhat. But when I write it down, there's something about my brain, the way it's wired, that helps me to remember it. However it works for you, but memorize the Word of God. Memorize it with your kids if you got kids growing up. Say, hey, kids, let's memorize this, some scriptures together. Have one a day that you memorize with your kids. I tell you, God will bless you. Bless your family. Psalm 119:16, I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. D, obey the word of God. You knew I was going to get to that one, didn't you? Hello? Psalm 119, 1 through 5, listen to what it says. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who, listen to what the how refers to obeying the word of God, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They will walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Over and over again in that passage, he says, keep and walk in these ways and do those things he's called us to do in his word. It reminds me of what Jesus said. Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I tell you? He's told us. He's told us in his word what we need to do and how we need to do it and where we need to do it. Obey the word of God. Jesus said something interesting when they were in John chapter 7, verse 17. They're questioning where he's the Son of God like he says, and he's the Messiah. How do we know your word is true? You're telling us this, you're telling us that. How do we know you are who you say you are? And Jesus said in John chapter 7, verse 17, if anyone wants to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is of God or whether I speak of my own authority. Let me give you that in just kind of a paraphrase. If you do what the word of God says, he will make himself known to you. Jesus said, if you keep my commandments, I will manifest myself to you. You obey the word of God. Let me tell you something. He will show up. And as one old preacher friend of mine said, he'll show out too. Hello? Just obey it. His word is true. You don't believe it, just try it. Try it, and you'll find out it's true. Then proclaim the word of God. Psalm 119:13. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. Psalm 119:46. I will speak of your testimonies before kings and will not be ashamed. Psalm 119:172. My tongue shall speak of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness. Proclaim it. You proclaim it like I'm doing. You proclaim it in Sunday school class. You proclaim it in the workplace, the marketplace, Walmart, Food City, wherever you go, however you go, at work, at school. Proclaim the word of God. Drop the word of God as you're going. Speak it. You know, there's something about the word of God. It's powerful. And when you speak the truth, it just cuts through all the garbage. Amen. Appreciate the word of God. Absorb the word of God into your heart and life. And the third thing is apply the word of God. See, it's not enough simply to know it and obey it. We got to apply it into our lives. See, it's a source of victory. Psalm 119:45, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. Do you know, there's something about being at liberty when you're walking with God and walking in his word and in his ways. It brings victory into your life. And it's a source of growth. Psalm 119:32, I will run the course of your commandments, for you shall enlarge my heart. It will grow my heart. Imagine somebody came up to you and said, man, I'm just so tired and weak all the time. I just don't have any energy, and I don't know what's wrong with me. And you said, well, you've been to a doctor? Well, I went to a doctor and they didn't find anything wrong. Well, have you got a disease or anything? No, I don't think I'm sick. I just tired and weak. And Beth might say, well, what are you eating? Hello? And imagine you ask somebody if they were weak and tired, what are you eating? And they said something like this, well, I go to a restaurant on Sundays sometimes when I go. If it's not raining, I'll go there and eat. But that's the only time I go. I eat. I'm just so weak and tired all the time. Let me throw you something. If you're irregular in church, you're not attending Sunday school, you're not here for Wednesday night Bible study, you don't read the Word of God for yourself, you are going to be spiritually weak and tired and have no growth in your life. Hello? A friend of mine reminded me the other day something I had told him years ago when we were on a mission trip together. And I hope you older folks will understand what I'm saying. And younger people will take it to heart. He said we were talking about how some of the older members of the church, they don't really ever get involved. They don't really ever show any fruit. They just come to church and they go home, and it doesn't seem like they say they know Jesus, but there's no fruit in their lives. And he said that I said this to him, and I didn't remember it, but he reminded me of it. He said maybe they just never grew. They never really studied God's word. And they're just happy the way they are. Don't do that. I don't care how old you are, how young you are. Read the Word of God, meditate on it, memorize it, pray over it, absorb it in your life, obey it. And let me tell you something, you'll keep growing. You'll keep growing till the day that he calls you home. Amen. Peter, 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. We want to eat right physically. Why don't we eat right spiritually? Hello? It's a source of victory. It's a source of growth. It's a source of joy. Psalm 119:54, your statutes have been my songs, house of my pilgrimage. Psalm 119:111, your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever. They are the rejoicing of my heart. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 11, these things I have spoken to you that your joy, my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. We talk about Jesus' joy being us and our joy being full, but notice what the first part of that verse said. These things have I spoken to you. His word. The word of God brings joy to our hearts and lives. It's a source of joy. And it's a source of power. Psalm 119:28, my soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. Do you know the Bible is described as a sword? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Paul's talking about putting on the whole armor of God. And taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, in the battle. See, because if you're a child of God, you're in a spiritual battle, whether you want to know it or not. If you're not walking opposed to Satan very much, you're probably not going to have a whole lot of conflict. But when you're trying to follow the Lord and do what he wants to do, you're going to have a battle. Hello? But you got a sword. I love what my friend Tom James said about it. I said something about the sword one day. He said, no, it's more than a sword. It's a whole book full of swords. Amen? Remember when Jesus in the wilderness and Satan came tempting him three times? Jesus pulled out another sword of the scripture and whacked him with it. Amen? Use the sword of God. It's a source of victory, source of growth, source of joy, source of power. But it's also a source of guidance. Psalm 119:105. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now, remember back in those days, a lamp wasn't a flashlight. They didn't have those. Wouldn't even a kerosene lantern. They didn't have these. Or a Coleman lantern of some kind or a propane lantern. It was a little oil lamp that they carried around burning with a wick. But he said, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Your word will guide me, Lord. When I can't see where I'm going, I don't see what... how to go or where to go. Your word is like a light unto my feet, that lamp to carry in front of me. See, appreciate the word of God. Absorb the word of God. Apply the word of God to your life. And he says in Psalm 119, verse 7, I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. Now let me give you what Jesus said over John or Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 and 25. We all know this statement that he made, but we don't listen to it sometimes in the context of what he's saying. He's just got through preaching the Sermon on the Mount. He's been giving them truth and truth and truth over and over again. He's been giving them the Word of God. And then he says and sums it up, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock, and the rains descended and the floods came. And the wind blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall because it's founded on the rock. We want to talk and say, well, that rock's Jesus, and we're founded on Jesus. But he's talking about these sayings of mine. Not a wrong application to talk about founding our life on Jesus Christ, but he's talking about founding our lives on the Word of God. And he said it won't fall. You'll stand the tests that come in this life. You'll stand the trials. You'll stand the winds blowing, the floods coming, and all the things that come against you if you found your life on the Word of God. Hello? Now, let me close with this. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you won't understand it. Because these things are spiritually discerned. Foolish man cannot understand the things of God, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. First thing to learn, understand the Bible is to be born again, to trust Jesus as your Savior. If you're here this morning, you haven't done that this morning, what a greater time to say, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you're the Son of God. I know I'm a sinner. I'm in need of salvation. Come into my heart and save me. And he will. And then he'll give you his Holy Spirit to open the eyes of your understanding. To understand the Word of God. That's the first thing. But let me tell you something else. You can buy all the books that you want to at the library, at the bookstore. and you might read about the author. You might see a picture of him in the back, you might or her, and you might read a little bio about them or something like that. But this is a book that you can personally know the author. Hello? And not only that, he'll come sit down beside you in your study or wherever you're reading. Let me show you what my book means. He will be your personal guide and tutor, the author, to lead you and guide you in all truth. Hello? It didn't get any better than that. Amen? If you don't ever hear anything I say, take this word and hide it in your heart that you might not sin against God, and you will bring glory to Him and joy to your heart. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank You this morning for Your holy, exceedingly precious word. We thank You so much for giving us Your precious book. And Lord, we thank You that You didn't just give it to us, but Lord, You come alongside us to show us what it means and to teach us and guide us. Lord, we praise You. Thank You, Lord, that You sent Your Son to die for us, Lord, that we might know it. We might know You. We might know exceedingly great and precious promises. We might have eternal life, and we might one day be gathered around Your throne for all eternity. Lord, we thank You that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Have Your way in our hearts this morning, and as we bow our heads, wait before the Lord with eyes closed. And I mentioned to you the most important thing this morning is, do you know Jesus as your Savior? Is there a point in your life you look back on and know that you were born again, you gave your life to Jesus Christ, and He came into your life and saved you? If you do, praise the Lord. But He didn't want you to stay there. He didn't want you to stay as a baby in Christ. If you're here this morning, you're saved. You know it. Are you reading the Word of God? Are you obeying it? Are you following it? Are you meditating on it? Are you praying over it? Are you letting the author teach you? This morning, just a moment, we have our invitation. If you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, just step out and come say, Pastor, I need to be saved. There's another decision you need to make. Maybe you've been saved, but you've never been baptized by immersion to show others that you've trusted in Jesus. Or maybe you've been coming to this church a while and you're not a member here, and you know you need to join this fellowship and serve the Lord Jesus here. Or maybe you want to just come and say, Lord, I'm going to read Your Word daily. You and Your will for my life. I want to know everything that You have for me. God's speaking to your heart about that. Just come, or if there's something else about it you want to come and pray. Let's meet with our Lord this morning. Father, we thank You. Draw us to Yourself now, Lord Jesus. Speak to us as You have through Your Word, that Your will might be done in our hearts and lives. We'll give You thanks and praise for all You do in Christ's name. Amen. Would you stand with me? Zen Faith leads us in song.